Blog Talk Radio.
Yeah, it's Mr. Encore. Fantasy sports and politics crew. Yeah, check. Fantasy sports and politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics Crew. Yeah, log on. Peace.
It's that time again, people. 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this is the FSP Crew Show. I am definitely your host, JT, a.k.a. The Master. Welcome you to your listeners to the FSP Crew Show. And I'm joined by my co-host, Jeff the Joker. And as usual, we engage in conversation and give you information about the wonderful, crazy, wacky world. Maybe it's the days of our lives, the young and the restless, whatever. But there's some wacky things going on, and we're going to be covering some of them tonight of fantasy sports and politics. The number to call in is 347-637-3220. Run that back to you again like I always do, 347-637-3220. We also have a chat room. Joker's in the chat room right now. I'm also looking in the chat room, waiting for your comments if you'd like to do it in there versus calling us on the phone. We're going to be talking about, like I said, some crazy things that have been going on. A superstar's wife saying some crazy stuff. And then we're going to be talking about another revelation of Jerry Sandusky. We're also be going talking about in the baseball world. There's a big buzz about the Washington Nationals and their all-star pitcher, Steven Strasburg, getting shut down. We'll be going to talk about that, converse about that. And anything else that may come up. We have an open agenda, and we'll be going from that. But without further ado, you don't listen to me stuttering and hemming and hawing. Let's bring in my co-host, Jeff the Joker. Welcome, Jeff. Talk to me, my man.
Good evening, Jerry. Happy to be here, coming at you live.
Yes, sir. Now, like I had told you briefly off air, Jeff, and I'm telling the listeners right now, Kobe Bryant's wife, Vanessa, who filed for divorce last winter. I'm going to read this article, which came from Yahoo Sports, and I'll give you the guy's name, Kelly Dwyer. It was published about 8 hours ago on Yahoo, and I'm going to read this article for you, and then we're going to talk about it, because you know what?
I want winners.
That's what she's talking about. Well, her wife filed for divorce last winter after claiming that the two differences were irreconcilable. But the two eventually rekindled the union and appeared to be on good terms, and after a tough initial run together that featured an infamous bout of public infidelity, it appears as if Vanessa's good terms are going to be on her terms. She wants rings. She'll have you know. Don't bother even leaving the house if you're not going to come back with one. This is a quote from Vanessa. I certainly would not want to be married to somebody that can't win championships. If you're sacrificing time away from my family and myself for the benefit of winning championships, then winning a championship should happen every single year. Perhaps someone should tell Vanessa Bryant that showcasing a good work ethic that sometimes leads you away from the home for long stretches doesn't always lead to championship. It just means you're probably going to be doing a good job. Here is where you can go into perhaps if Vanessa Bryant had a job territory, but don't. She's raising two daughters, which is full-time gig that is to be respected. We should just ask that she choose her words more carefully, I suppose. She entered into a union with Bryant knowing full well the NBA players spend half a season on the road and that stars of Bryant's caliber spend untold days and weeks overseas fulfilling sponsorship duties. You know all the stuff that leads to all those houses and all those cars and even helicopters, things that sometimes only lead to a 45-win record despite 35 points per game. Kobe can shoot 1,000 jumpers every Sunday afternoon, but it's not going to mean much if he still has to team up with Smush Parker in the fall. It's easy to understand what Vanessa is getting at, but she can't have it both ways here. It's true that Kobe Bryant's worth ethic might be unmatched among NBA players, but it's a gig that keeps you away from home regardless of championship potential. Add in the fact that this is a team game and that no star, no matter how great or how many hours put in, can win a championship just about by himself, and you're left with a pretty silly statement. We can't say we're especially looking forward to reading the rest of this interview when the New York Magazine hits the newsstands. Now, this is in New York Magazine, and it's supposed to come out, I imagine it's supposed to come out in September. But Vanessa says, if you're going to leave the house and be away from me and my family, you better come home with some championships or we got a problem.
I want winners.
Talk to me, Jeff. What do you think about that crazy statement?
It's not that crazy, but the thing is, you know, the Lakers aren't the only team in the league. Not every team has a realistic shot at a championship, but there's at least a half a dozen teams that have championship aspirations, and those teams have star players. Those star players usually have wives or at least girlfriends. So, you know, it's not that easy, you know, getting a championship ring. She got a ring, I think, when those charges were against Kobe, and I think the marriage was on the rocks back then.
Right.
And he bought her a seven-figure ring, a lot more
right.
expensive than an NBA championship ring, I guess, to smooth things over. But I guess they're at the point now where a little jewelry isn't going to fix it, and this could be a record-breaking divorce settlement. But, you know, these people got to learn to, you know, shut their holes, because she's probably looking at a lot of money. And the thing is, I'm sure, despite the money and that type of thing, being married to somebody like Kobe is no picnic. But she knew that going in. But then again, she was very young when they married.
18.
She was very young when they were dating, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were dating. She was 16. But, I mean, Kobe was young. He was 20, maybe 21. It wasn't like he was some R. Kelly cruising the playgrounds or something, you know.
Right,
And people used to bust his chops for it. I mean, I don't know the legal technicalities, but it wasn't that bad. And I'm sure this will be a very public, messy divorce. But, you know, that's negotiable just like everything else. I'm curious, maybe in a few years when Kobe is no longer an NBA starter, and the thing is, you know, for somebody as great as him, for as long as him, it's hard to imagine, but nobody wins the battle with Father Time. It happens to even the greatest athletes, and it's going to happen eventually to a Kobe Bryant.
Sure.
I'm curious if he's going to finish up his career over in Italy, because he might reach the point where he can't be the guy anymore in the NBA, but he could still be a starter in Europe. And because of his roots over in Italy, A, they would love to see him, and B, I think part of him, as much as he wants to play with the best, I think he'd rather start in Italy than ride the bench in the NBA, which I can't imagine him riding the bench in the NBA.
I can't imagine riding the bench either. And without further ado, we happen to have our other co-host, Black the Bookie. Welcome, my man. How you feel tonight?
Oh, feeling good, man. Feeling good. What's going on?
We're talking about, I don't know if you heard this or not, but
Just got on.
Vanessa Bryant made a statement that to
I know what you're talking about. I just hope Vanessa Bryant is championship worthy in the bedroom with her big mouth.
You believe that she actually made a quote like that? If you're going to spend time away from the family and me, you better bring home championship rings. Now, I mean, how many wives or girlfriends publicly go out and say something like that? And, you know, they just put their foot in the mouth, or she just put her foot in the mouth with that.
She sounds like a good friend of the show, Jackie Taylor. As Vanessa Bryant also brings her balls to the playground.
Yeah, I mean, like I was saying, they pretty much are reconciling right now, I guess, back together. And but this is one thing that she says, if we're going to do this, you got to bring some championships home. So just like some guys play for a contract when it's their contract year. Kobe's got to play like that, like it's a contract year. Otherwise, he's worried about with who says that? Was it Richard Pryor or was it or Eddie Murphy? Half. He's talking about losing half. So that I guess that would be added incentive that whatever your net worth is, and half of that is going to go to your ex-wife, if you don't bring home championships, would be pretty much a big incentive for Kobe Bryant. Anyway, I also have something that I wanted to come up across. I did come across, and I also came across that from Yahoo. And this came out this morning, or earlier today, I should say. I'm going to read this article, and somebody's gonna get in trouble for this one. This is about highly incriminating evidence in Jerry Sandusky case could lead to new charges. Prosecutors in the Jerry Sandusky child sex abuse case said they had a great deal of highly incriminating evidence they never brought up during Sandusky's trial, evidence that could be related to pending criminal charges. The statements are part of a transcript released Thursday from a closed-door meeting held in June after Sandusky had been found guilty of 45 counts of child sex abuse. In the meeting, Frank Fina, Pennsylvania's attorney general, said that the state had investigative reports as well as testimony from unnamed victims in the case that were not brought up in trial and should remain secret because of the ongoing investigation. We turned over transcripts of other potential victims and transcripts relating to the Penn State University and some of the potential events involving Penn State's connection with this case that I think would be highly sought by the media and that would not be in the best interest, again, of anybody, especially potentially ongoing matters to be disclosed. End quote. The attorney general has not commented on the ongoing investigation. Who the ongoing investigation might be targeting? Uh oh, they're going to be going after somebody else. The meeting was called in June after a recording of Sandusky's son, Matt Sandusky, talking to the Pennsylvania attorney general was leaked to NBC. On the tape, Matt Sandusky told prosecutors that Jerry Sandusky had acted inappropriately with him. A charge that stunned Jerry Sandusky's defense team in the middle of the trial. Prosecutors, investigators, and Jerry Sandusky's defense attorneys all denied supplying NBC with the recording and asked the judge to institute an all-encompassing order sealing all of the evidence in the case. Only three copies of the tape existed, Fina said in a meeting. Two copies were kept by the state, one at the Attorney General's office and the other at the Pennsylvania State Police offices. A third recording was given to Sandusky's attorneys, Joseph Amendola and Carl Rominger. And this is a quote, I know that I received the tape disc from the Commonwealth concerning Matt Sandusky's testimony. I gave the copy to Mr. Rominger to review because there was no transcript, end quote, Amendola said in a meeting. Amendola said he never listened to the recording, made a copy of it, or disseminated it. It would have been Wednesday I received it. It's been in my hotel room. It's been in my car. It's still in my car. That's where it's been, Rominger said. I made no copies of it, and I have no copies of it. There is now an investigation into who gave the recording to NBC. The two Penn State officials have already been charged in connection with covering up Sandusky's crimes. Athletic director Tim Curley and former vice president of finance Gary Schultz are charged with lying to grand jury about their knowledge of Sandusky's crimes and with failure to report suspected child abuse. Attorneys for both men appeared in court today for pretrial hearings, which includes requests by both Curley and Schultz to have the charges against them dismissed. That ain't going to happen. There is no trial date set in the case. Curley's attorney has told ABC News that his client is very ill with lung cancer. You know, before I go any further, it's crazy. When the first thing came out with accusing Joe Pa, all of a sudden he gets cancer. Not that it was. I'm not saying that was pre-planned or anything. He gets cancer and he passes away before anything happens in the trial. Now they're saying that one of the other accused has lung cancer and he's very ill. I don't know what the hell's going on there. According to the internal investigation,
I told you more names would come out, more names will fall.
Yeah,
that stress is a killer.
Yeah, you're right. According to the internal investigation report released by the former FBI Director Louis Freeh in July, Curley and Schultz, as well as Joe Paterno and former University President Graham Spener, all knew about two incidences in which Sandusky was showering with boys on Penn State's campus. We all know that. The men decided after a 1998 investigation with showering with a young boy to simply bar the former football coach from bringing children onto the campus. Edict which they did not enforce. In 2001, all four men were told that Sandusky was seen in the shower again. McCreary has said he believed he saw Sandusky raping the young boy. Curley and Schultz have maintained they were not told that the incident qualified as sex abuse. None of the men reported the incident to police. Joe Paterno in January died of lung cancer. Grant Spender has never been charged in the case. Really? The Pennsylvania Attorney General Office has said that Spaniel was not informed that the incident McCreary witnessed was sexual in nature. Maybe that's his out. The transcript released Thursday in the Sandusky case ends with all the attorneys and judges overseeing the case and the grand jury investigation agreeing to seal all of the evidence in the case, whether it was mentioned in the trial or not. It sounds like they're still having an ongoing investigation, and somebody, and they're pointing fingers at each other, released a recording to NBC. And there's only three copies. Two of them are with the state, and one's with the defense attorneys. I don't know who to point to, who leaked the tape. They're claiming that no copies of the tape were made. Only three are in existence. Somebody's lying somewhere. Talk to me, guys. Anybody?
Wow. I could probably talk about this for a couple hours, but I'm just trying to think, what can I add or say that maybe hasn't been said?
I know what you can add. I understand that Sandusky has a book deal.
No.
He has a book deal in the works?
No. But the thing is, most states, and I don't know, Pennsylvania sounds like a backward state after a lot of this nonsense. Most states have what's called Son of Sam laws, which means that criminals can't profit from their crimes.
Right.
And that's named out there in New York. There was the Son of Sam serial killer, and they passed those laws, but not every state has those laws. But I'll tell you, a lot of these, you know, no offense to whoever's from Pennsylvania, but some of these folks in Central PA and alumni and students at Penn State, they sound very backwards, and they seem like they don't get it. And I'm sure this was a lot to wrap your mind around initially, but, you know, these folks need to wake up and smell the coffee, because this nonsense happened. A guy got sent to prison for it. It got proven in court, and denying it isn't going to make it go away. They gotta just admit it and deal with it and stop believing in Santa Claus and stop believing that Joe Paterno was perfect. I'm not saying he was the devil, but he made a huge mistake, and I think less of him for it. So,
Black?
This is going to be ongoing. I expect 20 to 30 more names to come out.
Really?
I got to give Black credit. A long time ago, he was saying that there was talk that, I don't want to misquote, but he said something to the effect that Sandusky may have been pimping out the kids to other perverts, and I've seen that in some news stories that there's allegations of that.
Yep.
I think that's, you know, what Black is talking about, and Black mentioned that a long time ago, and sometimes, you know, that almost sounds like kind of something from the National Enquirer, but, you know, sometimes that stuff is right, you know? Sometimes it is. Sometimes it is. I mean, sometimes it's ridiculous, but sometimes that tabloid stuff is ahead of the curve, and, this thing just gets worse and worse and worse,
and I expect all the board or the commissioners of that Second Mile charity to also be implicated as well.
Yeah, if they're dirty, then they got to face the music, you know. And it cracks me up, you know, all these big executives at Penn State. I think there was an old blues song about being the cost to be the boss. And everybody wants to be the boss. Everybody wants the title and all the other stuff that goes with it. But you got to pay the cost. You got to have responsibility and deal with ugly situations. This was a very ugly situation. And the thing is, I learned this at a relatively young age. Former President Clinton, you know, who survived many scandals, nothing as disgusting as this, said something like, "It's not the scandal that brings you down. It's the cover-up." And that's what is bringing these sleazy people down, that they could have survived the bad publicity if they would have handled this the right way. They really could have, because they would have been said, okay, something bad happened here. This is a former coach. He was still on, you know, for his volunteer. But as soon as we heard, we severed the ties and we're going to handle this right. It would have been forgotten by now. But they took the wrong way, you know. And it just reminds me when I was a kid. Well, really wasn't me; it was other kids. You know, they get caught doing stuff sometimes, and you get in trouble, and you got a choice sometimes. Either you face the music, or you try to lie your way out of it. Which sometimes you're good, but sometimes you just get beat harder. You know,
right?
And they made the wrong choice, and it's a lot easier to tolerate that from a kid. Than adults, especially adults in a position of authority. And I heard this could affect the accreditation of Penn State University, and I think it should, because it shows a lack of institutional control. And it makes you wonder what else is going on over there. Ridiculous.
Okay. You got anything else to add to that, Black, or no?
Nah, he summed it up perfectly.
Okay. Let's move on to, I got baseball, football. Who do we want to go to first? Let's go to baseball, and let's talk about somebody, a player, that happens to play for a certain team in the DMV area. If Black knows who...
Whoa.
If Black knows who I'm talking about,
you're catching me off guard right now. Are you about to speak about the Washington Nationals?
I'm about to talk about the Washington Nationals, right?
Amazing.
Why? This is not amazing. For the simple fact is, he's on the way. I'm talking about Mr. Steven Strasburg is on his way to becoming the subject of the most debated absence in baseball since Sandy Koufax missed Game 1 of the 19 World Series because of Yom Kippur. The Washington Nationals have suggested they will shut down Steven Strasburg after he has pitched 160 to 180 innings to protect his surgically repaired right arm. The move would end Strasburg's season shortly before the postseason, the first postseason since 1933. In all likelihood, that will include a team from Washington. Nationals executives defend their decision as protecting a long-term investment. Strasburg is 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery, and the team wants to reduce the chances he follows the path of Mark Pryor, Kerry Wood, and many other pitchers who were damaged by overuse. Now, I have a clip from Stephen A. and Skip Bayless about this very thing. I'm going to play it. It's about, give or take, about 5 minutes long. Listen to everything on it, and then we're going to comment right after it.
If you were in Davey Johnson's shoes, what would you do with Strasburg?
Well, I would do what he's doing because I have no choice. I'm just a manager. I'm not the executive. I'm not ownership, but I still think it's disgraceful. The fact of the matter is that this is a young stud. Somebody's got to figure something out. When you talk about shutting this kid down, he's 11-5. What is it, a 3.12 ERA? But I'm just looking at him from the standpoint that I just don't know what's happened to the sport, Skip. I'm not in a position to argue about it. I just don't understand, you know, how these guys are so coddled and the need to protect these guys. I know he's less than 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery. I understand that. I truly do. But I'm thinking about those paying customers. I'm thinking about the fact that you're in a pennant race. You've got a 2.5 game lead over the Atlanta Braves. It's not like you've been relevant any time before. No. And now the citizens and the nation's capital's got an opportunity to be competitive. And you're talking about taking this guy out. It makes me sick to my stomach. I almost feel like the fans are totally getting robbed here.
Okay, so which side are you on then? If you're Davey Johnson, would you push to shut him down at 160?
If I'm Davey Johnson, I have no choice because I want to keep my job. And the fact is, he's got his orders. He's got to follow his orders. I don't like it, but I would have to do what he's doing because you've got your instructions. You got the team listening to whoever's telling them that it's got to be 160 innings, and then that's got to be it. You can't let this kid pitch past that. I have no choice if I'm Davey Johnson. I have to listen to that.
Although what's funny about this discussion today is that we had heard from the GM before that they were starting to reconsider a little bit, that maybe they would push it up a little bit depending on where they were in the standings as they reached 160. I was a little surprised Davey went that strong with it yesterday. But you know what, Stephen A.? I am on his side about this one. Strasburg is just too valuable long-term, and I can show you too many studies done that after 160 innings coming off Tommy John, you're in the danger zone. I appreciate that very much because you don't want another Tommy John, and maybe you'd lose him for good this time.
Skip, I need your help here with something. I'm not debating. I'm just asking because I don't know. What about the possibility of shutting him down right now?
Okay, I thank you. I was just
if they get to the postseason, or get close to the postseason, bring him back then.
Okay.
What about that?
Do you remember recently that John Smoltz, the great John Smoltz, suggested that maybe Strasburg should start faking injuries to miss starts? And I'm thinking, why would you have to be so devious about it? Why wouldn't you go with the team's blessing, and say, let's just shut you down for a couple starts right now. Let's maybe parcel out your innings. In each start, we don't want you to go more than 4 innings. I don't know, 5 innings. Let's have a max. Let's parcel out the innings toward 160, and maybe you can fudge it a little bit if you're right in the thick of the pennant race and you need a big game. Maybe you can go to 167 innings. But right now, you should use him very sparingly instead of faking an injury. Just be out front with it, up front with your fans, and say, we need to go easy with him right now, and maybe we'll go harder with him in September and maybe October.
Well, we agree there, because what I would do, Skip, what is he at now, 121.1 innings? I would shut him down right now, and I would not let him pitch again until I absolutely positively need him. I would see if my team could hold on to the NL East, all right, and have him for the playoffs, because that's 40 innings you'd have at his disposal. Chances are he could get through the entire postseason that way. He can give you seven, all right? He can give you seven a night on five or six different occasions. You call it a wrap. That's what I would do. I would try to shut him down right now unless I'm absolutely in jeopardy of losing the NL East.
That's what I would do so I could have him for the postseason.
Well, we actually have a graphic here with his projected innings. And, you know, you can see from the graphic there the countdown, the shutdown, as they say. And this is an assumption about regular rest and six innings per start. And so I don't know if that sways you guys in any particular way here. So he's 121 innings and a third. How long would you guys shut him down for?
I'm looking at 27 more innings if you pitch him on regular rotation all the way through the rest of the regular season. This is just the regular season, right?
Right.
Again, Stephen A., you can't shut him down for 6 weeks because then it would be too hard for him to get back in rhythm. You'd risk further injury that way. I'm talking about skipping starts every once in a while. Just have.
Okay. You guys got the general crust of what they were talking about. Black, this is your man on your team and with your general manager or president or whoever he is, Mr. Rizzo, the general manager, has steadfastly said that come 160 innings or thereabouts or whatever, close to that, that Mr. Strasburg will be shut down completely for the season. Your comments on that and your comments on what both those two gentlemen, Skip Bayless and Stephen A., have to say about...
This is a very stressful decision. You have a team here in Washington where all the excitement has been placed on the Nationals. Their first postseason run since 33?
Since 1933.
1933?
Yes.
Excuse me. There was a few decades without baseball in Washington, but it's still a long time.
Exactly. And all the fans here are overjoyed and excited, but half of the fan base is also torn. I mean, you want a healthy Strasburg going into every season that you have available that he has under contract. But then on the other side, you got a pennant race. You could luck into that magical storm where once you're in, and you can ride that wave all the way to the World Series. But I'm not sure how that's going to work now, seeing how the guy who was the hero for us in the NL has now been suspended for 50 games, so that's a whole nother topic unto itself. But as far as me, I hate to say it, I probably get death threats over this, but I shut him down.
Really?
I shut Strasburg down. He's too valuable. He's too valuable.
Even
in the midst of a postseason run where the odds are against DC teams that we might not win a game next year, probably. That all this was just a fluke. This is a great dream that somebody will pinch us tomorrow. It'll be all over with. But I have to shut Strasburg down just for the protection of my long-term risk and my investment in Steven Strasburg. I'm shutting him down.
Wow. I don't understand. I mean, this guy is a stud. He's 2 years removed. He's not like a year removed from Tommy John surgery. He's 2 years removed from Tommy John surgery. You got a chance to get, well, you definitely are going to get in the playoffs unless you have a monumental collapse. You're definitely in the playoffs. You have one of the strongest pitching staffs, and that's included with Steven Strasburg in the major leagues. You have the best record in the major leagues right now, if I'm not mistaken. And you got all that going for you. Plus the fact is you haven't been since 1933, regardless of if you had a team there or not. It's still been since 1933. I'm simply amazed that they're going to shut him down when I know he wants the ball because he would feel like he's more important, or his teammates will feel like he's more important than the team is. Especially
his teammates wouldn't feel like that. That's a major surgery.
So?
Major surgery.
Black, he's not the first one that's had Tommy John surgery that has come back from it and succeeded. And There's been a lot of players, including Tommy John, who was named after, that had successful careers that didn't have themselves shut down in a pennant race, which is where they're at right now. I mean, to me, it's only a matter of where they're going to be seated, depending on the amount of games they win. I'm surprised they don't stretch out his innings, his time he pitches, so there's a possibility that he would be able to pitch in the postseason. But to just completely shut him down when he gets to that magic number of 160 or thereabouts, I can't agree with it. There's a lot of pitchers that had Tommy John surgery that still kept on pitching past 160. I understand he's a commodity. I understand that he's a young kid. I understand that of the surgery he had, but he's a baseball player. You don't get a chance. You may not have this chance for the rest of your career. Your team may not have this chance. The guys on that team may not have that chance for the rest of their career. With as strong a team they have, they have one of the best pitching staffs in the National Leagues and in the majors, really. And their lineup.
And for that reason, that's why I shut them down. We still have good pitchers that can go out there and get the job done. Gio Gonzalez, Craig Stammer, who we've had on this show. What's my guy, Tyler Clipper. There's plenty of guys in that dugout that can get the job done. But I understand every point you're making, but the risks just outweigh the gains. I need Strasburg to be a Hall of Famer in Washington for maybe 10 to 15 years. I just can't risk that going on one pennant race. I can't.
That may be the only chance that him and the team have against the World Series.
I understand all the factors. I understand everything you're saying. But I can't risk it.
But there's no guarantee.
Strasburg is the face of the franchise along with Bryce Harper. I can't risk that.
But there's no guarantee that if you shut him down this year, next year, his first start, he could blow out his arm again.
I'm not debating any guarantees. The only guarantees in life are death, so I'm not debating any guarantees.
Mm-hmm.
I'm saying that we are going to shut Strasburg down because that's what we have to do.
That's unprecedented. That's like no one does that, especially in their ace pitcher in a pennant race and going into the playoffs. No one does that.
Hey, it's been a year of unprecedented things for the Nationals, so this will be another one.
Jeff, you've been sitting silently by. I know you got something to say on this.
Yeah, I keep flipping back and forth on this because I've been saying forever how much they baby the pitchers. And then I heard about, they got this rehab from the Tommy John surgery. They got it down to a science. So this 160-inning thing is not some random thing. I think this is part of the program. And then I was hearing some contradictory stuff recently. I'm thinking almost as a compromise. I wonder if they can move him to the bullpen. They already got somebody there, of course. Well, they got a few guys there, but they got one. Clippard has a lot of saves. But, man, I'll tell you, if I was a hitter and thinking that, they could bring Strasburg out of the bullpen, that's a scary thought. It's a tough call, but I think they consulted with medical experts, and, according to the experts and based on the history, shutting them down is the way. I hate to see it, but I guess, the way they play the game now,
over.
That's the prudent thing
on,
to
Joker.
Do.
Come on over to the side, Joker.
it's a weird one. It's weird, but, I think there's other factors possibly. It's not just the innings. It's how many pitches you throw. Also, it's how hard you throw. And that, that might be why it used to be pitchers, not that long ago, a couple decades ago, pitchers would, starters would go every 4 days and sometimes finish a game. Now they go every 5 days and almost never finish a game. What's the difference? And one of the few things I've been able to come up with is pitchers throw a lot harder now. Not that they just throw faster, but they throw a higher percentage of fast pitches, and that might be why, you know, these arms are so fragile now. Maybe they need guys to throw more off-speed pitches and whatever, and then you wouldn't have to deal with so much of this stuff.
Okay. Let me read a couple of things here, Black. This may support what you're saying. So I'm going to read this. Recovery from Tommy John surgery is typically a two-year process. Pitchers don't start throwing full throttle off the mound until 8 to 9 months after surgery and don't start pitching competitively until 9 to 12 months after. In the first full season back or the second year of the recovery, a pitcher starts to feel completely comfortable with the reconstructed elbow, the feeling of pitch and grip of the ball, and finds consistency. But there is no way to truly tell when the transplanted tendon fully becomes a new ligament, nor is there a consensus on when the restraints on a pitcher can be fully removed. This is a quote. There is no book, no number, no magic. No, you can pitch all the way up until October, said Timothy Kremchek, the Cincinnati Reds team doctor. He performs nearly 60 Tommy John surgeries a year on major and minor league pitchers from across the country. Another quote. Nobody knows that, and many of us are afraid to take the chance with these guys. Okay, template for shutdown. I don't know if Black, you know this, but the Nationals have used fellow starter Jordan Zimmermann as a model for their approach with Strasburg. Zimmermann had Tommy John surgery to replace his torn ulnar collateral ligament in 2009 and pitched 161 and a third innings last year in his first full season back, just over his prescribed 160-inning limit. While that proved successful for Zimmermann, who has emerged as one of the league's best pitchers, and that's true, Strasburg won't be held to the same number. So he's going to go to 160. The worst-case scenario would be if the tendon graft is damaged, but that's a rare occurrence since the surgery is extremely successful if performed by a capable surgeon and rehabilitated correctly by the player. According to the 2010 study, 83% of athletes studied returned to the same level of competition or higher within a year of surgery. But experts worry that tendonitis could develop or a pitcher could become fatigued by overuse, possibly leading to poor mechanics or more serious shoulder injuries. I read that to support your side of it, Black.
I don't need any support. I won't be swayed.
Oh, I understand.
This is the franchise we're talking about, not just any other player. The franchise. You shut him down and you roll with the punches, man.
Well, there's going to be a lot of punches if he shut. Because it's starting to get a lot of punches now because he's getting close to that magic 160, and a lot of punches. They had Scott Boras, who happens to be Strasburg's agent, on Mike and Mike in the Morning, ESPN. And then right after that, they had I'm trying to think who the hell else they had on.
This is only a story because the Nationals are in first place. Let the Nationals have been bottom dwellers like they've been the past couple of years and see if this was a major story on every network.
Well, that's the reason why it's a big story, because the fact is, the position that the Nationals are in right now would warrant for you to keep every pitcher that is performing well active versus shutting down your star pitcher. That's why it's a national story. I understand what you're saying. But if the Nationals were in last place and they're going to shut Strasburg down, it wouldn't be that big of a story because they have nothing to play for if they're in last place. But they're in first place, one of the best records, if not the best record in the majors, and they're going to shut their ace down. That's a big story. That's a huge story, for the simple fact is nobody does that. So that's why I wanted to bring that up. And I understand it, but I got a problem with it, for the simple fact is that he's your ace. I understand he had Tommy John surgery. I understand that you're looking for long-term success for this guy versus just this season. But run for championships, run for pennants don't happen every year. Teams like, I'm trying to think of a team, one wonder team that had a magical run. And
wouldn't that be your Mets?
Had a magical run. I mean, they were a contending team for a while, but they had one magical year, 1986, against the Red Sox. But they had a magical year that whole year. Everything fell in place. There's no guarantee that you're going to get back to that anytime soon.
I understand that, but I have all the utmost confidence and faith in our skipper, Davey Johnson, to get us back to this point next year.
Two names I'd like to mention, Dwight Gooden, Darryl Strawberry, two great young stars for those Mets teams, and both of their careers fell flat, and that's probably one of the reasons the Mets never got back to win the World Series after that.
Okay. Well,
right,
I wanted
right?
to. Yeah, you're right. I wanted to bring that up because Black was is a big Nationals fan, and this story's been getting bigger and bigger as Strasburg gets closer and closer to his magic 160 inning. So I just wanted to bring it up because it's going, like I said, it's going to get bigger, and everybody's going to have a wait and see, and like, holy cow, and I can't believe you're doing this all the way up to his 160 mark. Well, Black, let me put it this way. Let me ask you something, okay? I just thought of this because what they said on the replay of the tape. What do you think about shutting him down or stretching out his starts from every 5 days or whatever it is to every 8 days or whatever. I'm just so he has a chance to pitch somewhere into the playoffs. What do you think about that?
I wouldn't mind that, but as long as it doesn't reach that goal, number 160.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I understand that it's at 160, but what's wrong with stretching them out, just like Stephen A. said, a certain amount of days in between starts, so you save those innings into the playoffs, and then you would have them into the playoffs, for whatever amount of time you would have them in the playoffs.
But can Strasburg adjust to that? You go a whole season going every 5 days, and then now you're going to stretch it every 8 days. There's an adjustment that everybody has to go through.
Yeah.
Even that point, I don't know. I don't know if it was Stephen A. or if it was Skip who brought it up, talking about shutting him down now and then bringing him back in the playoffs.
Yeah, that was
that's
Stephen A.
That's
crazy. You can't do that. I understand you can't. Yeah, I understand that. All right, let's move on and talk about this, Mr. Can't Wait, Bart Scott. I don't know if you heard about this, Jeff, but Bart Scott of the New York Jets, and I'm not just talking about it because I used to be an ex-Jet. I just heard about
you
this.
You are still a Jet fan if you're
any
Jets.
No.
It's bad enough that they're on ESPN every damn day with their training camp, but yet you're still speaking about New York football Jets.
I just heard about this, and I thought it was one of the dumbest things going. Truthfully, I thought it was one of the dumbest things said. Bart Scott thinks that Mark Sanchez can be a top 10 quarterback this year. He's looking for big things. He's looking for big things out of Mark Sanchez this year.
Is that top 10 in the ACC or in the Big East?
Top 10 in the league.
Where's my aspirin?
I'm just repeating what I heard. I heard it on a clip on ESPN radio that they played that he honestly said it, that he thinks Chance Edge can be a a top 10 quarterback. He's looking for Sanchez to take that fourth-year quarterback leap and to be a top 10 quarterback. And, excuse me, the statistic they had was this. Phillip Rivers last year was an 8-8. He had 20 or so touchdowns, and he had almost an equal amount of interceptions. Michael Vick was 8-8. He had 20-something touchdowns, and he had, I think, maybe 12, 15, somewhere around that, interceptions. Mark Sanchez had 25, 26 touchdowns, somewhere around there, and I think 18 to 19 interceptions. So those are two elite quarterbacks, and I'm just playing devil's advocate here. And the New York media and whoever is beating Mark Sanchez down, but he equaled what these two supposedly elite quarterbacks did last year and with supposedly better teams and you're getting beat up. You guys got any thoughts about that?
I understand that Tim Tebow was a top 10 quarterback in the fourth quarter of all of last year, so I don't know what box Scott is smoking. How he's passing his drug tests. I'm not sure how he's doing that, but, man, kudos to you, Boss Scott. Kudos.
What do you got to say, Jeff?
Yeah, can't wait for the results of the Bud Scott drug test, but thank you. I'll be here all week. But, you know, some of those questions, when a reporter asks you what you think of a teammate, you can't tell the truth, you know? So, of course he's going to, BS a little bit. I mean, come on, even if you like Sanchez, he really gave, the head side of that coin. I don't know how else to put it, but, I'm really scratching my head about the Jets. I don't think they addressed their offensive line, and they really didn't address the wide receivers too well, and speaking of people who smoke, Santonio Holmes is—he's not practicing, and they don't have—they got the populator, Cromartie. They got him practicing over at wide receiver.
The populator.
Yeah, that's right. Talking about teamwork. He got enough kids to start his own team. That dude gets around. He's a
that's
good athlete,
funny.
but he's never played receiver before, at least not in the NFL, I don't think in college. I mean, they need a real wide receiver. I mean, it's hard enough to play corner. I mean, Cromartie's real good, don't get me wrong, but I think it's too much to ask him to be a wide receiver except in an emergency or something. It's too much. They need real wide receivers.
Well, my question is this, and it hasn't stopped ever since after the draft, ever since that Peyton Manning went to Denver, ever since that Tim Peeper went to the Jets. It hasn't stopped. I don't understand it. Every day, either on the NFL Network or ESPN or some sports station, is talk about the New York Jets. I have no idea why. I heard Justin Tuck, and I'm trying to get the right comment that he says. He basically said that they can talk all they want. I'm glad that I can go home without any kind of camera or mic in my face, or because of I'm not worried about it, because the fact is I don't mind flying under the radar as long as we win championships. So last time I looked, they haven't won any, they don't have two rings like I do or something like that. So it's a lot of hype and with no substance. I don't understand it. Maybe somebody can enlighten me, because I've never seen one team that hasn't won anything of anything anything in particular with so much media hype. versus the team in the same city that's won a world championship two times in the last, what, four or five years? That makes no sense to me. I'm trying to get some clarity and trying to find out why that is. I'm going to you, Jeff, because you're a Giants fan. Talk to me. What the hell is going on here?
You know, I'm scratching my head. I mean, the Giants, I grew up a Giants fan, very loyal. It blows my mind. I mean, I know they weren't blowing people away last year. They got hot at the right time. I'll take it. I'm fine with that.
Sure.
A lot of people are picking them third in their own division. That's hilarious. I think they're better than that. They're not a dominant team, but you look at the other teams in the division, I'm not that impressed. Maybe it's just it's a media creation because, you know, despite the Giants winning the two Super Bowls in 4 years, they, for lack of a better term, they're boring. You know what I mean? Eli Manning, he always says the right thing, which is frequently the boring thing in interviews. Tom Coughlin, you know, doesn't exactly exude charisma. He's worried about coaching and winning games and stuff like that. And then, you know, you got the Jets where Rex is a good defensive coach, but I don't know, maybe he needs to tone down the antics. But the media absolutely love that guy. And I think it's because the guy before him, Mangini, barely spoke to the media. He was from the Belichick school. And,
right.
If, you know, you're a New York reporter, Rex Ryan is your dream guy. Maybe it's just because, you know, Giants might be better. The Jets are a little more interesting. And I think maybe that's why they made the Tebow deal and they do some of this other stuff is to try to compete in the media and also to keep selling those PSLs, you know, personal seat licenses at the new stadium, which I think there's still some available. You know, maybe they should just try winning some ball games, you know, but what do I know?
Black, you got any comments?
You know everything. This is a total disrespect for the Giants and the New York market. I don't understand. This is ridiculous. You'd rather give a guy who lives to suck on feet more attention than a Super Bowl champion. That's just beyond me. That's beyond words.
Well, beyond words. Well, the only words I have is that we come to near the end of another show. I want to thank you guys for showing up and engaging in the conversation we've had. Tune in next week. Same time, same place, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Same cast of characters, Black, Jeff, and myself on Friday. No Chaser, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I think it's going to be a little fireworks going on tomorrow.
Boy.
I think it's going to be a little fireworks going on tomorrow. I think there's going to be a little fireworks going on tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
I think we're going to be talking about Mr. Mitt Romney and Mr. Obama with me and Mac as the host and co-host. Mac is the host, me the co-host. So tune into that. If you'd like to join in, quite naturally, do that or listen or whatever. Then on 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Saturday will be the FSP. I'm not sure if Vic will be back. He'll be en route from the East Coast to the West Coast. I'm not sure if he'll be able to do it. If not, I will be taking the reins again for that show. And then on Sunday will be the master plan. Whereas I've gone through the skill positions for fantasy football, now I'm going to give you or go through draft strategy. What the do's and don'ts of your fantasy football draft. I know next weekend I'll be doing three or four drafts, and then the following weekend I'll be doing another three or four drafts. So this is gearing up for the fantasy football season. A lot of people are doing their drafts now. So the master plan on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, to give you do's and don'ts of your draft, and Black we need to know when our draft is going to be also.
Yes, I'm thinking either the next coming weekend or September 2nd.
Okay. Well, you just got to let us know.
I'll keep you posted. Definitely will keep you posted. I'm actually looking like you in your video from last year that you posted. When you came from about 19 drafts, I've in a couple more leagues this year, unfortunately. So I hope I'm still on my A game when I'm done with all these drafts.
I hear you. All right, with that being said, you guys have anything to say before we knock ourselves out of here?
Well, I'd just like to wish everyone luck in the fantasy drafts, unless they're going against me. It's been fun, and thanks for listening. Catch everybody next time.
Black?
Yeah, so it's been a pleasure again, pleasurable show. Wish everybody luck in that draft as well. Right now I'm going to challenge Washington Redskins fans. And this will be something that I'll be sending both of you guys in your email. I saw a quote today from one Joseph A. Gibbs, the great Washington Redskins legend, who said that he was always a queer for tight ends. Let me repeat myself. He was always queer for tight ends. I need the Redskins fan base to please explain what that means and what the hell is going on with Joseph A. Gibbs. I'm going to send it to you guys in a second. But I'm challenging all Skins fans to tell me
please
what the
do.
Hell Joseph A. Gibbs is talking about. Please.
What the heck is that? Okay. Hey, with that being said, till next week, folks, thanks for listening. And we're out.
Yeah. It's Mr. Anchor. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Check. Fantasy Sports and Politics. Ain't no other talk show hot as this. Cover every sport and we get it all right. Log on the site, you can listen tonight. Talk about the game, who in first place. You can even call up, state your own case. Football, b-ball, soccer too. Log on, ain't nobody stopping you. It's Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah, come on. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Yeah. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew. Fantasy Sports and Politics crew.